Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon. For those of you expecting to hear Gary's voice, I'm sorry you're disappointed. This is Pastor Richard Dietering. Gary's out on assignment today. I'll say it that way. He is not in the studio, so he asked me to cover for him today. So I will be working the show today with a voice you're all familiar with, and that is going to be Phil Stargell of the Abolitionist Roundtable, and he'll be working with me today. But first, I have to take care of some business. It's spring, and with warmer weather, now is the time to get started on those outdoor projects. Call the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, 734-455-5560. Whether you're looking for wall stones, paving stones, boulders, or new statuary for your garden, save a ton of money at the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road. Call 734-455-5560. You can also get a full selection of wood mulches, stone mulches, and garden soils. Marco, Helena, and crew will help you get your project complete. Teco Block, the premier manufacturer of paving stones and retaining walls, are available at the Rock Shop. Check out the showroom to experience all the amazing products Monday through Friday, 9 to 7. Call 734-655-5560. Check out the website at www.rockshop. There's a hyphen between rock and shop. .com. Set your garden wishes in granite at the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Old Hickory said we could take them by surprise. If we didn't fire a musket, still we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we seen their faces well. Then we opened up our squirrel guns and really gave them well.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down, so we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind, and when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Johnny Horton, Battle of New Orleans. You know, they don't make music like that anymore.
You're right.
But the reason I played that, and people are wondering what that song could possibly have to do with politics today. So I want to, first of all, talk about the election of 1824. This was the election that was going to bring our sixth president into office. And in that presidency, in that campaign, it basically was narrowed down to a one-party system. The Federalists were no longer in practice. You basically just had the Democratic-Republican Party is what it was called. And after the election, it went down to the Electoral College. When it was all said and done, Old Hickory, the war hero of 1812, Andrew Jackson, won the plurality of votes of the Electoral College with 47%. He did not get a majority. So what happened then is Henry Clay, who came in fourth in that race, by the way, brokered a deal with a bunch of the senators, because at that point, because no one got a majority of the Electoral College, it then went to the Senate to decide who was going to be the president. And so what happened is Henry Clay brokered a deal, and in that deal, it basically made John Quincy Adams our sixth president. They overrode the voice of the people and made John Quincy Adams the president and Henry Clay his Secretary of State, which back then meant he was next in line for president. Uh-huh. Whereas today we look at whoever's vice president is going to be the next running one. Back then it was the Secretary of State. So with that in mind, there were a lot of people that were very pro Andrew Jackson, but there are a lot of people that seen Andrew Jackson as a boisterous braggart, all about himself. He loved bragging upon himself. And one of the men that really didn't like him was Noah Webster. Matter of fact, Noah Webster and Andrew Jackson, you could almost say, were political enemies. Mm. And as we all know, Noah Webster from the writing of his dictionary. Well, during the election of 1824, Noah Webster was getting ready to produce his first dictionary. He thought it was very important for the Americans to have their own language and a way to properly spell words and standardize the spelling of words. This was very important to Noah Webster. So in the opening of his dictionary, and this was a direct attack on Andrew Jackson, he wrote this as a preface to his dictionary. He wrote, "Let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose the rulers, just men who will rule in the fear of God," Exodus 18:21. "The preservation of government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupt. The rights of the citizens will be violated or disregarded. If our government fails to secure public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect bad men to make the and administer laws. In selecting men for office, let principle be your guide. Regard not the particular sect or denomination of the candidate, look to his character." So what happened is after he put that out, Andrew Jackson made a reply, very public reply, and he said, and excuse the quote, he says, "It's a damn stupid man that can't figure out more than one way to spell a word." You know? Because at that time, there was no standardizing of doing it.
Right.
The point I want to bring out is emotions in politics is not new. Mm-hmm. And voting on principles is not new. Matter of fact, I'm sure the people that supported Andrew Jackson, he was a war hero, had their own set of principles in which they were selecting their president by. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it went to the Senate, which, by the way, is a possibility happening in this election if neither of the candidates get enough electoral votes.
Well, isn't it the goal of the Never Trump people to try to get a couple of people to run independent runs? And then, but they're talking about getting it into the House of Representatives to get a decision.
What they're trying to do is do the exact same thing that happened in 1824, and that is to have Congress decide who our next president's going to be.
Yeah.
And I will sit there, and those people who know me know that I'm not what you'd call a huge Trump fan. Mm-hmm. But with that in mind, I don't feel that this needs to be gerrymandered like it was in 1824.
Yeah.
I think...
Well, that's what I believe is going to happen on the Democrat side. I truly believe that Hillary is going to have some problems with indictment. And if that's the case, they're going to bypass Bernie and put Joe Biden in there.
Well, yeah, it's hard to tell what's going to happen. And what I think, if it ends up going to the Senate to make this decision, they're going to pick a rhino. and they're going to pick a Democrat to be his running mate. And I see that, and I'm telling you, it's not a good situation. I would rather see the people come together, and I'm saying this, I'm not one of these people that can put a hashtag Never Trump. Matter of fact, I talked to you yesterday, and I said there is one situation in which I could actually see myself voting for Trump. Won't get into that today, but I definitely don't want to see Hillary as president. But I'm not going to go with the old standard, if I vote, don't vote for Trump, I'm voting for Hillary. I don't believe that, and you know that. But with that, I mean, my biggest problem right now with is not with Trump himself, is what I'm seeing from a lot of the Trump supporters. And you and I discussed this yesterday, is I see, I was talking to a young man who, for as long as I've known him, was very right to life. I mean, abortion was murder. That was it. All of a sudden, when Trump came out and says, well, we need to have the Republican Party revisit its stand on abortion in the case of rape or incest, he flipped around his ideals immediately on it and gave up his ideals. And I see this happening with a lot of supporters of Trump. And this is the wrong way to go. I think now is the more important time that if you're going to support a candidate, fine, support the candidate, but don't give up on your ideals.
Right.
Let your candidate hear your ideals, and hopefully you sway him saying, we supported you, this is what we want, rather than just forsaking your ideals to mimic your candidate.
Well, that's exactly why I don't believe in this idea that let the Democrats win, and when the people see how bad that party really is, then they'll come to their senses in 4 years. And no,
okay, we've seen how bad the party is for the last 8 years. I'm not going to make excuses. What I do find, though, and as I said, I'm not the biggest Trump fan in the world. What I do find, though, is I find myself yelling at the radio a lot every time I hear Hillary Clinton, because she says something so stupid. I'm sitting there defending the actions of Donald Trump, and I'm saying, Hillary, why are you making me defend Donald Trump? When he came out, when she came out and said, look at Donald Trump made profits off of real estate when everyone else was losing their property. He was buying it up. The man is in real estate, and it's called the real estate market for a reason.
That's right.
You buy low, sell high, right?
That's right.
So what he was doing, he was doing his business. She tries to say, look, he did his business. He's evil for that.
Because he's successful. You know, we don't want to see this guy.
Right.
You know, I mean, we don't want him to head the country.
And then she comes out with this great speech on national security the other day, and she didn't say anything about national security except that she didn't think Trump was qualified. And I'm sitting there saying, but Benghazi, your emails, everything you've done shows you cannot handle the national security issues.
And look at the fact that she puts out the commercial when that phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning. She's going to be ready. And the phone rang, and neither her or Barack Obama
were ready. The only way she can be ready, the only way she can be ready is if she has a new email server up to where she can do business, because she won't use the government email server. So with that being said, I want to get back a little bit on this Noah Webster thing. So as I mentioned, Noah Webster wanted to standardize the language in America. He thought Americans, as we as Americans, should have a standardized American language. And so this is why he came up with the dictionary. In 1828, Andrew Jackson beat John Quincy Adams in that election straight up, and then he became our seventh president, Andrew Jackson. And the first thing he did was invite his old nemesis, Noah Webster, to a big state dinner, and he made sure he sat Noah Webster right next to him to show him exactly how far he made. And what
look, did he serve up any crow?
Well, it's funny you say, what did he serve? It actually offended Noah Webster what he did serve, because what he served was French and Italian food. He's saying, what's wrong with this president? He can't serve American food? he says, he's serving dishes that I didn't know the single name of a single dish he served, he said. He says, so the best thing, if you're going to eat if you're going to eat dinner with the president, eat before going there. So then you can just snack on fruit and stuff. So actually, Noah Webster was very much about America becoming an American nation, having an American language, American food, not adopting and becoming European. Matter of fact, he was very much against becoming European in standard. He thought that we as a nation should have our own language. And today, that would ring in resonance resonate with so many people. Mm. We need our own language. If you're going to come here, assimilate to the American way. Right. We as Americans should not have to assimilate to your standards, basically. Mm. And so that's why Noah Webster is one of my favorite founding fathers. That, and he was the official editor of the original Constitution. Mm-hmm. A lot of people didn't know that. So what he was trying to do is make sure that everything was an American. Everything was for America and the American way of life. And what we get in today anymore, we can say that Noah Webster had what we call today a pre-modernal or a pre-structural view of the world. Today we are in a post-structural world, and what happens is, for example, on the media is demographic driven, right? The MSNBC serves its liberals, the homosexual community, the very far left mm-hmm. sections of society. Everyone has their own little demographics. And everyone is in the media is then dividing up this country, not as a nation as a whole, but dividing us up into groups. And this is not what our country was founded on. We were founded more on a melting pot of people folding into the community and adopting American ways, rather than being a melting pot, a stained glass window society, mm-hmm. In which everyone was able to just continue in their own ways, and Americans having to grab a hold of these other cultural aspects.
I believe that's the thought behind the demanding that the president be natural born citizen of this country, and that was an issue. And people actually are angry at people because they said that Barack Obama did not meet that requirement. And it was a very, very a long memory of the people because, I mean, I got into a little thing around the holiday last week mm-hmm. because of that.
Well, and it goes into that natural born. If you actually look at the way the Constitution is now, if you mm-hmm. have a parent that is an American citizen, you are an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
His mother was an American citizen. Now, my problem with Barack Hussein Obama on his citizenship is that, to me, he forfeited that when he was in Indonesia. He claimed to be an Indonesian citizen. Yeah. He got an Indonesian passport.
Yeah.
He declared himself as an Indonesian, not as an American.
Yeah.
And to me, he
and he was actually
depatriotized himself.
And he was adopted as an Indonesian,
right.
too.
So, you know, when you go out of your way to give up a citizenship, I think we should honor that.
Yeah.
And say you're not a citizen.
Because I've encouraged many, many people, if they don't like this country, you know, we'll try to figure out a way to get you out of here, you know.
So we have the media now breaking up society in groups. So that means now politics have got to go the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to decide what groups they want to pander to, and if they can pander to more groups than the other side, they'll get more votes instead of trying to decide what is a better America.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the
pandering that Hillary did with the bottle of hot sauce in her $3,000 or $2,000 pocketbook. I couldn't understand why people wouldn't say to her, hey, you know, come on with the pandering, you know, it's enough, mm-hmm. it's enough, you know.
Yeah, well,
like I believe she's going to carry around a hot sauce bottle in a $2,000 pocketbook.
I don't believe she'd carry around hot sauce at all unless it's to accidentally pour them into her husband's eyes when he's sleeping. But, so what we see, and I wanted to make this strong point, I actually was on Linda's show mm-hmm. last week, I think it was, and I started talking about this whole concept of identity politics.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be something that we as conservatives could point at the left of being masterful at it. They would go after and divide everybody into groups mm-hmm. and then get those groups to support them.
Mm-hmm.
How else do you explain black pastors supporting the Democrat Party that also supports abortion and gay marriage that they're so much against?
Right, exactly.
It's because, well, okay, you don't have to worry about what we're giving them. What are we giving you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know is each little group are getting their own little favors and handouts.
Yes.
That's not the way this government was intended to be. Mm-hmm. If you read the Constitution, rights that were given were actually like the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't so much of them giving us rights. It was saying to the government, these are the people's rights that you can't interfere with.
Yeah.
In other words, every person had the same rights.
Yeah.
If you tell me that all men are created equal and they all have the same rights. I think that's what it needs to be.
Well, that's it's in the Constitution.
Right. That but now, if all men are created equal and deserve the same rights, why are they giving additional rights to different groups?
Well, that's for votes.
Because they no longer have the same rights.
That's right.
Is what you
have special rights.
Special rights. And now, unfortunately, we have to state that the Republican Party is starting to do the same thing.
We're
getting better at pandering to groups rather than saying one law for all men.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would say that the groups we're pandering to, and I say that, is to protect the, all society. For example, we are, as the Republican Party, we pander to the gun owners, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we want everyone to have that right to have a gun, not just the ones who own guns right now.
Yeah.
Okay? But as the party, they're going to target those specific beliefs and ideals. And so I have a less problem with the Republican Party doing that, but the Democrat parties, they have turned it into such an art, and look what it's doing to our country today.
Well, people wonder how it is that the Democrat, as soon as he gets elected, that party just goes into overdrive. I mean, all of these groups come together and they start laying out there, and they, the Democrats, line them up, and in the order of how much money or how big their special group is, that's who gets lined up first to get the special rights. You look at it, the homosexual lobby, when they came in, Hillary, Barack Obama both were DOMA. They were for one man and one woman, and they were also for what? Illegal immigration, but they were against illegal
immigration. You know? And now we have both parties now jumping on the bandwagon, unfortunately.
Yes.
Except, and I'll give credit to Donald Trump on this.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's saying all the right things on immigration.
Yeah.
He really is.
But the thing is that the Supreme Court is where they've made all of their advancements, and that's the benefit of having these groups all lined up, because they put the pressure. And then they got it, all of their legislation through the Supreme Court. And that's where it's all going.
Now, before anyone thinks that I'm giving up on my ideals and stuff, I will sit there and say, my problem, here's my problem now with the Republican candidate. And I know I said I wasn't going to get into this, but I have to say this because I don't want to sound like I'm now pandering or really changing my views. My views haven't changed, and I still have to vote on my principles, as I expect everybody else to. I mean, let's face it, politics, as we've seen from the election of 1824, it gets passionate.
Everybody in the Republican Party are going to vote their principles. There are none in the Democrat Party.
So here's my problem is I still don't trust Donald Trump. I don't trust him. And what I find, though, is there's a lot of people when they find people that are not in the Republican Party that are not sold on Donald Trump yet, those people tend to be bullied and beat up. If you don't vote for Donald Trump, you're voting for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm going to vote for the person that I feel best under my principles would do the best job. Probably won't win. But at least then I did what I thought was principally correct.
But look at the example that the Bushes set. George Bush, the father, only did 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He was thrown out. And the reason why he was thrown out is because he went back on his word. We've got that option with Donald Trump, but I certainly don't want to see 4 more years of what we got going now.
Can I make a very valid point on this? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to go to the other party for a second here and make a point. Everyone's had the same thing about Obama. If he doesn't keep his word, we can just vote him out.
Yeah, but
the left should have thrown him out after the first 4 years,
they
right?
should have voted him out after the first 4 days.
Yeah, we only have election cycles once every 4 years, though. Impeachment would be a good thing, though.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The Republicans should have done that. That's what they should have been doing. They should have made it clear that that kind of disregard for the rules and the structure of this government that he loves so much by making it so onerously big.
Well, pick us up right after this key messages.
Okay.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. In the race for the White House, Hillary Clinton pushing to cross the finish line in terms of delegates needed for the Democratic nomination. Both she and Bernie Sanders in California ahead of the big contest Tuesday. On the agenda for Clinton,
events in the Los Angeles area, Oxnard, Santa Barbara, and then a get out the vote rally in Fresno tonight. Sanders is expected to do a news conference talking about the very close polls out here.
Fox's Mike Emanuel. He's been described as the most famous athlete in the world. Tributes coming in from all over the world for boxing legend Muhammad Ali, dead at 74.
On his Twitter account, President Obama posted a picture of himself sitting under one of the most iconic photographs of Ali and said, quote, he shook up the world and the world's better for it. Rest in peace, champ.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. Fox News. We report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The need for loving guidance does not end when a kid turns 18. But for youth who've spent their life in foster care, there is no one to guide them as they step over the threshold from the system into independence as an adult. Every June, foster youth gather on a Michigan University campus for a two-day conference to arm them with the skills they will need to step into adulthood at the age of 18. Workshops focus on career skills, employment, health and well-being, legal rights of youth in care and as adults, mentoring, money management, social media, and more. The Michigan Teen Conference this year will be held June 21st through the 22nd at Eastern Michigan University. For conference information, call 616-356-1934. Are you ready for a free outdoor concert? The Canton Concert Band will perform a free concert on the lawn at St. Michael Lutheran Church, 7000 North Sheldon in Canton, on Wednesday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. Bring a chair or blanket and enjoy an evening of music and fellowship. For more information, contact the church office at 734-459-3333 or visit connectingwithgod.org. The Unicorn Project is a local group of individuals speaking up to let others know that drug-free recovery is a legitimate path to sustained recovery, that many people are succeeding with this path, and that more people will succeed on this path when they are offered the right kind of help. The project started right here in Ann Arbor. People need hope and they need accurate information about all their options and all routes to recovery. And the Unicorn Project wants to help them access both. For more information, call 734-255-4838 or visit unicornsarereal.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And we're back. Hey, I've got joining us in the audience. You just walked past. I seen Brandon Drake, so I waved him in. It's always good to add somebody else to the conversation. But with that in mind, I have to read this. If you need rehabilitation or know someone who does, call Wellbridge of Pinckney, 517-375-5363. Wellbridge specializes in post-acute rehab and nursing care, designed to provide a bridge to recovery and wellness. Check out the website at www.thewellbridgegroup.com. And the Wellbridge Group is all one word, or call 517-375-5363. Welcome back, guys. Glad you could join us.
Well, thank you for the invite.
We're just sitting here talking, and I was just stating that as much as I don't like Hillary, I'm not sure.
Unacceptable. She's unacceptable.
Totally unacceptable.
We've known that for years. We've stated that clearly.
Yep. My biggest problem right now, and I will sit here and state my one vote is not going to make a huge difference in the grander scheme of things, okay? But I will state that we need to be able to trust who's going in there, right? Can we say that much?
Yeah. I would think that trust is built on the person's character, and that's, I think, the big foundation of this discussion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think character is important. We need to elect a person with character, not elect a character with personality.
Yeah. Well, we've become a nation that's addicted to entertainment, sound bites, slogans, reality shows, and it's reflected in this election cycle like never before.
I'm still, and I'm not going to say the young man's name, I'm still, but he's not the only person I've run across that who's willing to totally throw his ideas out the window to support it. I'll give it, I'm going to put you on the hot block here, Phil. You know, yeah. I love you. You know, I consider you a dear friend. We'll burn you at the stake after the show, but, you know, better a hot steak than a cold chop, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
But with that in mind, we were talking during the break, and you came up with the idea is, well, you know, if we get Trump in, and he's elected, we have to hold his feet to the fire, and we have to babysit
yep.
him.
Yeah. With a team. We're going to have this elite team around
babysit.
Him. And so when I hear something like that, you're taking away the argument that Trump is this great candidate because you're saying he has to be babysat by people who know what they're doing and what they're talking about and will stick to conservative principles and have experience. So it's like, yeah. Okay, that takes away from the largely the idea that Trump is the guy. And I, all right, I'm gonna shut up because I could go on probably the rest of the half hour.
No, you're exactly on the right thing. He has to prove to the people because of the.
And he's
fact
not done that through the primary. If people say Trump tells it like it is, well, he flip flops so much that on any given day you don't know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah. But again, like you said, that we need to make sure that we do hold his feet to the fire. Again, I know that you said, well, I don't want to be another lesser of two evils, but I would rather babysit Trump than to fight another 8 years like we fought with Obama. I mean, this guy has beat the living daylights out of this Congress. I mean, he just smacked them around like
but
nothing.
But and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to base anything on rumor. Okay, and sometimes I start getting with everything I hear on the news and then reading on Facebook and everything else. Rumor starts getting skewed with reality, and I understand that. But didn't Trump come out and say that he really appreciated basically all these executive orders that that Obama's been signing? Because once he gets in, he'll be doing so much more.
He's going to ramp it up.
Yeah. Well. It might be that you have to do that to get rid of the ones that he's put in.
Well, no, to get rid of the ones he put in, what you do is you rip them up.
Yeah.
You don't sign new ones, you just rip up the old ones.
Well, but what about the claim that the system prevents one from violating the Constitution? And so, on the one hand, that's applied toward Trump, but that same logic, by people throwing that logic out there, are not saying it's the same system that prevents Obama. From violating the Constitution.
Very clear.
He's violated that.
Right.
So
he's torn it up.
So the system will not prevent a president from violating because we have that proof through Obama. And like Pastor Rick said, Trump has even said not only will he do the same thing, but he'll take it up a notch.
Yeah.
So here's my question on this. Is our founding fathers were very correct in their statement that our Constitution will only work if you have a moral, religious,
and virtuous,
society.
Yeah.
Why? Because without that moral, without that morality, that Constitution can be abused.
But what I have
and
to look
that's
at...
That's the concern that Drake's bringing up here.
But,
what's going to stop him
I'm looking at his example that he set with how he raised his family.
Right.
That goes a long way with me.
Trump?
Yeah.
Raising his family?
Yeah.
I bet he had nannies and I bet he dropped in once in a while just to say, don't do drugs, don't do alcohol. Okay, yeah. I'm out of here.
I actually won't jump on the speculation bandwagon on that because I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Well, I think that they are a beautiful family. I think that they present themselves well and they've got the right.
What's the saying? He's got the prettiest family money can buy.
Yeah. Could be.
I wanted to clarify my stance. I'm sounding very critical of Trump right now, and I think that there's a lot of criticism to be levied based on not my opinion, but based on fact of what Trump has said
himself
over these past few months. I'm not a never-Trumper. However, if I'm going to vote for Trump, it doesn't mean that I can't critique and comment.
I agree.
My brain has not dissolved into this cult-like status where I can't criticize the man because, number one, that's what America is about. We're supposed to be able to
speak out. And that's exactly what I was saying before we went to break is that people that are supporting Trump cannot throw away their ideals just because they're supporting a candidate. Matter of fact, they should be standing stronger on their ideals, stronger on their principles, to at least hold their candidate accountable.
But are we in agreement that you could not... You could not disagree with Obama. If you did, you were classified as a racist, or you were, in my case, I was Uncle Tom. I hated my own self, you know, because I disagreed with him.
Yeah, but if you disagree with Trump, you're going to give the election to Hillary. It's like you personally are going to be the one that throws the election to Hillary. That's the attack that you receive for critiquing him.
But what happens if he wins? You can criticize him all the way. That's the point of babysitting him.
We have with Rick Snyder. I heard nonstop that we were going to pull the R lever,
but I wasn't.
And we were going to hold his feet in the fire. Yeah. We're going to hold him accountable, and it's been nothing of that case.
All right.
And I agree 100%.
I normally don't divulge who I'm going to vote for.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you. I can't vote for Trump, but I'm not going to vote for Hillary. I'm going to write in Theron, all right? I know that he fears God. I know that he is just as able as any of the other two candidates running right now to do the job.
Yeah.
And he's honest. So I'm going to write in Theron. So if everyone else in this country doesn't jump on my bandwagon and vote for Theron,
they're voting for Hillary.
here's an example of a staunch supporter of Trump, Laura Ingraham. You know, for weeks, months, she's been going on about Trump this and Trump that. That's her passion. All right, I heard her say, I believe it was last week, she said, it was sometime last week. She said, Trump needs to stop with the insults. They're not helpful.
Yep.
Stop with the slogans. He needs to come up. He's void of substance. He needs to come up with specifics, details. And I'm thinking to myself, and Mark Davis was even worse on this, basically the same thing, but even more bizarre supporters of Trump. And now coming out with, he needs to come up with something. Mark Davis said Trump needs to sit down and figure out what he's about and how to say it. It's a little late. I would think if you're supporting Trump that you would have probably... had a little more basis of support for him along the way. Those are the words of supporters. He needs to figure out what he's about.
Well, with that in mind, I want to kind of blame everything that we're going through in the political system right now. Yeah. I'm going to find the very simple scapegoat. I'm going to blame it on the educational system. All right?
Good point.
I wanted to talk about this a little bit as we got into it. What are we missing today from our educational system? We no longer teach our kids to think. We teach them to be followers, not leaders. That our whole educational system is designed around creating followers.
And they don't have to write anymore because they can tweet.
They can tweet.
With symbols.
Tweeting and symbols are becoming the new evolution in communication. If you look at the communication through the history of mankind, it started out with paint drawings on walls and then went into hieroglyphics and then into consonantal language. And it developed and we're coming around full circle.
Mm-hmm. Back to little symbols that
we're trying to decipher.
Yeah.
And our kids are not taught to communicate well. They're not taught how to argue. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not talking argue like you'd argue with your parents as a kid. They're not taught how to make a claim and support it.
Yeah.
Because if you teach a child early on how to make a claim and support it,
like Trump, well,
then they start having opinions that they're going to sit there and be able to come up with an idea and think logically, do I have a leg to stand on to have this opinion? And they start thinking. Now, when you get kids start to actually think, now you're creating leaders. And this country, this educational system, doesn't want to create leaders.
It wants to create followers. And you can see it. I mean, if anybody would follow Bernie Sanders, we have lost the country completely. If they are serious about putting this man in as the president, and I indeed believe they are.
In the New York primary, I believe people 35 years and younger, it was like 70% that voted for Bernie.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you about the future of our country?
Oh, man, we are lost.
I was talking to a young art student. I was telling Ed this earlier before the show. Speaking of art, I was talking to him, and I was telling about this art student I talked to, and they're really not taught about getting behind what was in the artist's mind when they created the painting or the sculpture or the book. They're not trying to get into the mind of the artist to develop it, to see where they're at and how what was the statement being made by the artist and what was the artist going through to make that statement. In other words, how was he supporting that statement? They're not taught how to think critically anymore. And when I came over here, I went to school in Canada. My father moved us to Canada when I was a young man. I grew up in Canada, but I went to school to... I actually went to a private school because, well, we found out that the schools over there were much more liberal than over here in what they were teaching. So he put us into the best education he could afford working at Ford's.
Mm-hmm.
And but we learned things like logic. How many kids take logic in high school today? How many kids take rhetoric in high school? Matter of fact, you ask most people what rhetoric is, and they'll give you a negative connotation of the word. Mm-hmm. Rather than it's making a claim and being able to support it.
Didn't they teach that at Trump University?
I don't know.
Lying Ted.
If they did.
Whoa, lying crooked Hillary.
It wasn't accredited.
Yeah.
but you know, Aristotle, who came up with the whole, really the principle of rhetoric, thought everyone should be trained in rhetoric and not just the politicians. So we got to call on line one. Let's see what Todd has to say on line one. And Todd, if I hang up on you because I'm new at this board, call back. Are you there, Todd?
Hello. You did not hang up on me.
Oh, I'm feeling a little bit more technologically involved now.
But he may yet. We shall see.
Oh, well, put your hands up. And here. Anyway, hey, you know, you guys would be proud of my wife. She's a school teacher in a public school district. And she figures out how, within the curriculum that she's mandated to teach, how to build leaders and build these argumentative letters of sorts that you just talked about through our experiences and our sample letters that we have built over the years to build an argument, to say why we think you might be wrong or why you should do it better. And these kids, boy, they light up and they are having a good time. And they're like fifth, sixth grade.
Well, first of all, I want to say bless your wife for doing that because more and more we have teachers finding it more important to stick with the curriculum to keep a job than it is to actually educate the children. So first of all, I want to say thank you to your wife for taking the time and the care to actually educate and teach the children to be critical thinkers.
Yeah. She still teaches cursive to them, and they don't want to.
Wow.
But she says, you know, put your phones down and be quiet. This is what you're doing.
Yep.
Wow, that's great.
Well, most English teachers now are teaching their children to write in emojis.
No. You know, it's funny. These kids ask her all the time, why do I need to know how to do this? And I always like to use the argument because I can't wait for the day when technology implodes and we have to go back.
Yeah.
So you want that EMP.
Well,
I just want technology to go to stop being such a focal point. Imploding to me is as long as if it fizzles out and goes away and we go back to the old style. I mean, I, you
you and I will be so far ahead of these other
people. Well, let me tell you, as far as technology goes, I was proud of myself for being able to answer this phone.
Todd, hey. I think kind of along the lines of your wife teaching these kids and them asking the question, why do I have to learn this? I remember when I was in high school taking Spanish, and the Spanish teacher more than once would say to us, you have to learn the rules before you can break them. In the Spanish language. So you're not going to learn these little shortcuts and slang and everything. You have to learn the formal structure of how this works before you can get to the level of talking in a more colloquial way.
Well, you might find this interesting. Aristotle, when he came up with the whole idea of rhetoric, you understand Aristotle lived in what's called a true democracy, not a representative democracy, not a republic, but he lived in a true democracy. It was the voice of all people. It was mob rule, basically. Mm-hmm. So he thought it was important everyone learn the art of rhetoric and not just the criminals who could abuse it.
Yeah, exactly.
So everyone needed to learn that. Now that we live in a representative democracy, a republic, so to speak, now we just leave it up to those that are representative to make the arguments, and we don't analyze what they're saying anymore.
Now it's the art of name-calling.
Well, yeah, but you have to do it with skill.
The Republican primary debates prove that.
So, yeah,
on the Democrat side?
Yeah, I really thank your wife for taking the time with the kids, and I wish we had more teachers like that.
Yeah, there are few and far in between, because just like you had said, that the teachers are worried about if they're going to have a job or not, and that's how bad it's gotten, because the items within the administration of the school districts nowadays are rules and regulations are being used as a weapon.
Yep, and they're teaching our kids more and more just on how to get by, barely, and they're not really teaching them to think. I mean, really. I actually argued with a math teacher yesterday who says the journey of math isn't getting to the right answer. The journey is just getting to an answer.
Yeah.
And that's all that's important. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Math is a science. It's not an exercise in rhetoric. Yeah. It is something that can be proven by the scientific method. You can repeat it time and time again, right?
So if you use that philosophy of just getting to an answer, then the job that I do, every one of you folks would be in the jeopardy of dying.
Yeah, or anybody who works on aircraft.
Yeah.
Planes were flying. Yeah. Hey, Todd, I want to thank you very much. I got another caller here, but you have a blessed day, and thank you for calling.
Thank you. Take care. Bless you, too.
Okay, Walter, what can we do for you today? You want to talk about Donald Trump?
Walter, my man.
Hey, man, look, you know I'm going to hit it hard. I'm hit straightforward. You ain't gonna question after I get to tell it like it is, you know? you know where I stand, man, right?
I know exactly where you stand. I hear you often, but I still love you, man.
It's heaven or hell, nothing in between, black or white, nothing in between with me. My comments. I heard you guys talking earlier about these national radio talk show hosts trying to say, you know, they bought as wishy-washy as they come for, as I'm concerned. Including Laura Ingraham, I heard you mention her. They need to be talking about Donald Trump needs to cut back on the insults. Didn't I hear you guys say that?
Yes.
That's what Laura says.
That's what Laura said, yeah.
That's how he got to the top, man. People like us, let them clowns talk for themselves, you know? They about as wishy-washy. I don't put my confidence and trust in them. I love it when he called that guy out recently, called him a sleaze bucket.
Yeah. But Walter, here's the thing. This is just my opinion. As time went on, I needed a little more than just insults, slogans, everything's going to be great. That doesn't cut it for me. And the flip-flopping on the transgender, I mean, and abortion, all this stuff, it makes me question character, which to me, a major aspect of character is consistency of philosophy. And to dismiss all of that, I mean, is to me unexplainable. I can't understand how that can happen. And with national talk show hosts that do this for a living.
Can I ask you a question, Walter?
Yeah.
Now, you're obviously a Trump supporter. And matter of fact, I heard one of your calls, and I want to let you know that I don't read, what do you call it, the Bible of Rick James?
the Rick James Bible.
No, I'm a King James person. I'm a King James person all the way, and I'm the one who sits there, and I stand strong on Exodus 18:21, that those are the qualifications that the Bible gives us to actually select a leader. Matter of fact, it's the only passage in the Bible that actually directly talks about selecting a leader. And those are the standards I go by. But with that in mind, if the man you support, are you willing to stand by your ideals even when the man you support is against them? And to me, that's the important question.
Hey, man, you guys hit right on the head. Yeah, we cannot, you know, we cannot throw out the social issues, you know. And that's like what you said earlier, that is one of the reasons we pick our candidates. That is one of the main reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if that be the case, if there's so much division among us voters, yet, you know, there's division, and there's a lot of our voters that will vote Republican and conservative can't stand Christians.
You know what?
I'll
tell you right now, and if I ever get a chance to come back and do this show, I would love to talk about this. You don't know how many times a day where I hear that the government needs to start taxing churches. And I would love to hear some comments from people who want to insist on that, because I would show them that the taxation of a church would indeed create a state church. And I can directly make that argument, which is why we don't put the government in charge of taxing the church, because next thing you know, they become a major player in the political, much more than now. Imagine the Catholic Church putting a lot of money into the political coffers all of a sudden. We'd end up with a state church. Well, I want to thank you for Walter. We're getting close to wrapping it up here. I'm going to get some final thoughts of the guys here. But, hey, thank you for calling.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Walter.
Real quick, Walter probably is a lot like me. When he says that he likes to hear Donald Trump tell it like it is, that's the reason, one of the reasons. George Bush, I voted for him. I wanted him to succeed, and he did succeed, except in one area. He would not defend his principles. And we're out there defending.
He allowed others to define him.
Yeah, he let others define him, and he let us defend him, and he was very hard to defend when he had the
problem
Clinton
I
hanging
I
on
see,
his shoulder.
I see Trump supporters defining what Trump's going to do without hearing it from Trump.
Yeah.
If Trump gets elected, hopefully he'll come to this understanding. If Trump gets elected, he will come around to this. Well, I'm sure Trump will do this if he's elected. You know, we don't hear any of this from the candidate.
But I believe that, like I said, we can babysit him and get what we want him to do.
Who wants to babysit
him just like Rick Snyder? We can't even do it at the state level.
I know it. But
there's no way.
Rick Snyder is not the same type of
you mean a rich businessman?
I'm not going to say conservative. I'm not going to say, he's a rich businessman.
He's not the same type of rich.
But what I'm saying is he is an apologist. He's similar to George Bush. That's where I'm coming from.
When we say Donald Trump tells it like it is, even
when he tells it like it is,
Laura Ingraham comes out and says he's void of substance and needs to start figuring out what he's about and communicate it. So when we say he tells it like it is, it goes to me. You have to more than insults, more than brashness.
To tell it like it is
what you're about. And even Laura Ingraham, who does this for a living and supports him, is saying that he's not communicating what he's about. So how can he be telling
on
it like it
note,
is?
Gentlemen,
how can he be telling it like it is when he won't communicate what he's about?
On that note, gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. And if Gary's listening, Gary, forgive me. I hope I didn't drag away all your listeners. Love you anyways. And if you ever need me back, please feel free to give me a call. You all have a blessed day.